This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, Israel continues to pound the Gaza Strip, killing more than 100 Palestinians and injuring nearly 700 in 4 days. We'll speak with Dr. Mona Alfara, a physician in Gaza City, about the impact of Israel's brutal assault on Palestinian children and families.
You cannot get used to the ugly feeling of war, but still, there is strength inside Palestinian people at the moment.
Also, Rami Al-Megari speaks with a man who lost his entire family in an Israeli airstrike on his home in the Maghazi refugee camp. And Nader Ahmoud reports from Chicago as Israel's attacks provoke a wave of demonstrations across the U.S. and around the world. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Oakland, with Nader Ahmoud in Chicago. Israel continues to attack the Gaza Strip. As of 10 p.m. Palestine time Friday night, Man News Agency reported that 16 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in a 24-hour period, Gaza's Ministry of Health said, bringing the death toll in Israel's military assault to over 100. The latest airstrike targeted worshippers leaving a mosque in the El Zeitun neighborhood, medics said. 7 people were injured. The United Nations reported on Friday that more than 2,000 people have been displaced by Israeli missile strikes on their homes. Hundreds of houses have been totally destroyed or severely damaged. The humanitarian agency Oxfam reports that, quote, water supplies for 100,000 people have been cut off because a pipeline in Beach refugee camp and 2 wells in Gaza City were hit and destroyed. An Oxfam official said that, quote, water pumps and sewage plants could stop functioning within days because of severe shortages of fuel. 90% of water in Gaza is already unsafe to drink. Physicians at Gaza hospitals are worried that they won't be able to perform life-saving operations because of a massive fuel shortage for generators that provide electricity. A spokesperson for the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said that, quote, we know of 5 health facilities which have been damaged. The Gaza European Hospital, for instance, was damaged. They have closed down the pediatric ward. They have closed down the intensive care unit. There was a nurse who was injured yesterday. Oxfam notes that the sewage plant, which serves half of Gaza City, has been badly damaged, with 25 million liters of raw sewage spilling into the sea and increasing the likelihood of disease caused by poor sanitation. It is expected to take months to fully repair. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said earlier in the week that a ceasefire was, quote, off the agenda. And on Friday, when asked at a press briefing whether the Israeli government and military was preparing a ground invasion, Netanyahu said, quote, we are preparing all options. Meanwhile, in the occupied West Bank, Man News Agency reported that 9 Palestinian youths in Bethlehem protesting Israel's assault on Gaza were injured during clashes with Israeli soldiers on Thursday night, and 14 Palestinians were injured with live fire and rubber-coated bullets during clashes in Ramallah and El Bire that continued into early Friday. This comes after weeks of intense attacks on Palestinians and invasions into cities, towns, and villages by Israeli forces across the West Bank, as Palestinians protested the kidnapping and brutal murder of 16-year-old Mohammed Abu Khader on July 2nd. An Israeli court this week ordered the release of 3 Israeli suspects arrested in connection to Abu Khader's murder. And in present-day Israel, Palestinians with Israeli citizenship continue to protest Israeli occupation violence. The website Arabs 48 reported that thousands gathered in the town of Kafr Manda, which is located at the center of the country, to protest the Israeli attack on Gaza. Joining us on Friday to talk about the ongoing assault on Gaza was Dr. Mona Alfara, the director of Gaza Projects with the Middle East Children's Alliance, and she works with the Palestinian Red Crescent Society. Dr. Alfara is a physician by training and human rights and women's rights activist by practice in the occupied Gaza Strip. I asked her to begin by telling us what was happening on the ground today in Gaza and her assessment from a physician's perspective of the humanitarian situation over the last 4 days since Israel's attacks began.
Today, Gaza, the drones are still in the sky, the jet fighters in the sky, gun boats or warships still hitting Gaza with missiles, with its missiles. The streets of Gaza are nearly empty. People are afraid to leave their homes because of the intensity of the shelling. Hundreds of thousands of children are in their homes, terrified, tired, sleepless, anxious, clinging to their parents because they are afraid of the shelling. And as you know, as you may know, we don't have shelters in Gaza, so just people trying to be in their homes, trying to be in the safest place inside home. This is one thing. Another thing, Israel has destroyed more than 210 homes till this minute, and the number is increasing. And they gave very short notice, just 10 minutes to the family to leave the home. So 10 minutes, then no home, no memories, no history, nothing. Just get out of the house, even without any papers, documents to see who are they or any official documents. The number of the injured has reached 659 up till minute. The number keeps increasing. Number of killed, 105. At least 40 are women and children. The hospitals are working in such pressure, great pressure, because of severe shortage of medication and supplies, especially the emergency need for the operating theaters. And of course, the problem of the electricity continues. We don't have power, we have intermittent power most of the times. Feeling of security is the case. No place is safe. I'd like to share something with you, two things. First thing, on personal level, I have had to leave my apartment because all the windows were shattered, and my place is just in front of the sea, and it is very, very unsafe. And I was too close to the bombardment. So I moved to a friend's house for a relatively safer place. No place is safe. This is one thing. Another thing, a young friend of mine, she was expecting her baby, and she was supposed to come to Gaza to her doctor to have the baby, and but she couldn't. There's no transportation between towns and villages, no public transportation, of course, and even the private taxis are afraid to go from one place to another because of the intensity of the shelling. So she had to give birth to the baby in another place, but she was so anxious, and because of that, she had hemorrhage. Bad hemorrhage. This is one reason. The tension can do that. The stress can do that. But she's okay now. She gave birth to baby girl. What I'm trying to tell you, Nora, that imagine yourself as a mother, expecting a mother that need all the good circumstances to give birth, and thinking all of the time of being unsafe while going to the hospital. This is what I'm trying to let you know. She gave birth to a baby girl. She's okay now. I telephoned her and found out she's okay. The situation is very bad, and it is can lead to more escalation, and the ground operation is imminent. Despite of that, they keep postponing it, and this again put the population in a case of feeling of insecurity. When are they going to hit? Are they going to enter Gaza? So this is the general situation. But also, there is a great deal of social solidarity between people and steadfastness, because we went through this several times. You cannot get used to the ugly feeling of war, but still, there is strength inside Palestinian people at the moment. Strength. I don't know how to put it into words. two feelings. You are afraid, you are insecure, but there's something strong inside you. This is the situation at the moment. I think I have mentioned the hospitals and the lack of medication, shortage, lack of medication and supplies. There's another thing, the situation is dire. Increasing number of families at the moment are impoverished because of lack of cash, lack of money, lack of, it's Ramadan. The Israeli army as well has hit many water wells inside Gaza. And this morning there has been water cut, no water in many neighborhoods because of the water wells have been hit. So this is a big problem too. The UNRWA has opened its schools to receive homeless people in case of the military ground. And on this level, I am satisfied that some of the homeless families will have accessibility to Middle East Children's Alliance water purification systems. So this is the situation in general, and I can't see any truth in the near future. Any ceasefire, I mean, in the near future.
That's the voice of Dr. Mona Al-Farah. She is a leader of the Palestinian Red Crescent Society and also the director of Gaza Projects with the Middle East Children's Alliance. She's speaking to us from Gaza City. Mona, very quickly, what are the physicians at the Palestinian Red Crescent dealing with at this moment? What is the level of trauma and triage at the hospitals, especially as medical supplies and basic medical equipment and medicines are in short supply?
We are coping, but we are in great need for emergency medical supplies. We are working, we are coping. We receive patients injured from the referred from another hospitals as well, because the burden on the governmental hospitals are high, so they evacuate their patients to us. But what we have is getting the medical resources are exhausted at the moment, because of the borders closure, and we are in great need for medications and supplies. We can buy it from private pharmaceutical companies inside Gaza. This is, and we need this to be done quickly, because it is a life-saving process for patients.
All right. Well, if people want to get in touch with the Middle East Children's Alliance, they can go to www.meccaforpeace.org, and they can also follow your reports there. Dr. Mona Al-Farah, please be safe. Thank you for all the work that you do and for being with us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We continue our reporting on Gaza. Since Monday night, Israeli army airstrikes against the Gaza Strip have claimed the lives of more than 100 Palestinians, including children and women. As of Friday, the attacks are continuing, while Palestinian armed groups continue rocket fire into Israel. The Electronic Intifada's Rami Al-Megari has more.
49-year-old Awad al-Nawasra from the al-Maghazi refugee camp in the central Gaza Strip says that his house was built 10 years ago, and during previous Israeli attacks on Gaza, it did not suffer any damage. However, this week, an Israeli missile leveled it to the ground. Al-Nawasra lost his wife, his son, his daughter-in-law, and two grandchildren. He told the Electronic Intifada that the Israeli military did not warn him before his house was hit. The Israeli Air Force justifies its targeting of civilian homes by saying it warns residents of impending strikes, but human rights groups say this does not change the fact that targeting homes is a war crime.
The entire Gaza Strip is targeted. May God lay them all to rest. As for this house, may God compensate me for that and for my children. We are here to bring more children, God willing. May God take revenge on them, the Israelis. We hope we will be victorious.
Al-Nawasra's house is not the only one that was targeted. Israeli warplanes have destroyed more than 200 houses so far in the attacks. Jabir Ushah is deputy director for the Gaza-based Palestinian Center for Human Rights.
This is an intentional war crime which happens in large scale it is a massacre. We call upon an international inquiry committee to investigate those crimes. Those are committed on large scale.
As the Gaza Strip enters its 8th year of an Israeli-imposed siege and a blockade that has prevented the import of basic medical supplies and medicines, Palestinian medics in Gaza are calling for immediate assistance. So far, 2 ambulance crew members have been injured as ambulances have come under Israeli army fire. Dr. Ashraf Al-Qidra is the spokesperson for Gaza's health ministry.
The types of injuries no doubt indicate that Israel has used new weapons that melt bodies. There are many holes in the bodies of the dead and injured, as well as dismemberment of the lower parts of the bodies and the limbs.
The Israeli army has named the ongoing military offensive Protective Edge, and Israeli officials warn of an imminent ground invasion. Israel's stated objective for its intensified assault in Gaza is to hold the fire of rockets from Gaza. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs stated that the latest escalation started on June 11th when Israeli forces extrajudicially executed an alleged member of an armed group along with a child, followed by repulsive rocket fire by armed groups in Gaza. Gaza's 1.8 million residents live in one of the most densely populated areas in the world. More than 1 million of Gaza residents are registered refugees who receive aid from the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA. UNRWA says it is responding to the current developments and has declared a state of emergency across the occupied Gaza Strip. Adnan Abu Hasna is UNRWA's spokesperson in Gaza.
We'll provide fuel to hospitals and municipalities. In case there was some displacement, according to the escalation, or the expected escalation, we'll be opening our schools and our installation to shelter the people. But right now, we are waiting for any development in that.
Across the Gaza Strip, people are expecting the worst to come, as Israel continues to attack residential homes more than it has in previous attacks. So far, Egyptian mediation has failed to stop Israeli aggression against the coastal territory. For the Electronic Intifada, I am Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
Finally, we go to a report by Nader Ahmoud in Chicago, as thousands of Palestinian supporters gathered in that city and worldwide to protest Israel's assault on Gaza.
Palestinians, the place lives in them. And this is our fault. It is up to us, for the sake of our brothers and sisters that live in Palestine and in the diaspora, to do what is right, to do what is just, and free our people from occupation.
Tariq Khalil, a Palestinian American, was one of the speakers to address the crowd of more than 1,000 supporters who gathered at the historic water tower on Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago on July 5th. During the first of 2 protests held in Chicago this past week, the protesters called for an end to Israelis' collective punishment of Palestinians and demanded that mainstream Western media appropriately cover Israel's inhumane acts against Palestinians. Israel launched air raids on Gaza after the bodies of 3 youths from an Israeli settlement were found in the occupied West Bank on June 30th, following their disappearance on June 12th. Last week in occupied Jerusalem, 16-year-old Muhammad Abu Qudair was abducted and burned to death by Jewish extremists July 2nd in a revenge attack. And the following day, 15-year-old Palestinian-American Tariq Abu Qudair was brutally beaten and arrested by Israeli police and held without charge. Tariq Abu Qudair was released July 5th and was put on house arrest for the remainder of his stay in Palestine.
We have to understand that the disappearance of the 3 settlers must be understood within the context of this brutal military occupation against the Palestinian people. The media has made well known the names, the faces of these Israeli settlers, but they have not made known the names and the faces of the beautiful Palestinian people. So our job right now is to make them known.
As Israel continued its largest attack on Gaza since 2012, activists in many cities across the U.S. have organized protests. In Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, Austin, Cleveland, New York, Syracuse, Seattle, New Orleans, and Philadelphia, and across the world. Human rights activists in Greece, Italy, Belgium, Germany, Spain, Ireland, France, Colombia, Australia, the UK, Canada, Scotland, and Jordan have hosted or are planning multiple demonstrations for justice in Palestine. Demonstrations are scheduled across the globe throughout the month of July. Fadi Zanayed, a Palestinian lawyer, also addressed the Chicago protesters before the crowd began its half-mile march to the Tribune Tower, July 5th. Zanayed said he was proud of the young organizers and mentioned how the Palestinian spirit will never be broken, despite Israel's cruel methods of oppressing Palestinians.
The human spirit in us, all of us, as Palestinians, is right here and in Palestine. Israel can go into our homes. They can kill our children. They can do whatever they want, but they cannot kill the human spirit of the Palestinians.
Ben Lorber, a Jewish American activist, expressed support and understanding of the Palestinian struggle. He also condemned Israel's occupation and the oppression of the indigenous Palestinian people during the July 5th protest.
The Jewish people did not suffer our own oppression and exile for centuries so that we could turn around and oppress another people.
Ahmed Hamid, born and raised in Gaza, has been in Chicago for 2 years while he received his master's degree from Columbia College. Ahmed lost 8 family members who were murdered by Israeli drones during the past 2 days. Hafiz, Ibrahim, Fawzia, Suha, Dunya, and Mahdi Hamid were killed July 8th when a drone struck their home in Beit Hanun. The following day in Beit Hanun, another one of his cousin's home was hit by a drone in the early morning, resulting in the deaths of Hani and Ibrahim Hamid. Ahmed passionately pleaded with protesters to keep fighting for the freedom of Palestinian people and to help remove the constant fear the people in Gaza are living with.
I don't remember how many people I have lost in my life. I can't remember all the names. I don't want to think about this anymore. I cannot hold it in. I cannot take it in. I want a solution. And you all want a solution. Your parents left. You have left. Are you going to go back? Go back. Go back. Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Free, free Palestine.
Both Chicago demonstrations marched through parts of the downtown area, but the July 9th protest went a significantly longer distance using louder microphones that garnered much more public attention. Protesters first gathered in front of the Consulate General of Israel on Wednesday before marching a few miles to the Daley Plaza. On the way, the demonstration passed the Taste of Chicago taking place at Grant Park. During both days, the participants were united in loud chants and motives regardless of age, race, gender, or religion. For the Electronic Intifada in Chicago, I'm Nader Hamoud.
And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, and pointed opinion and analysis by our team of writers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. You can also post comments and sign up for our daily email digest. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and on behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.